You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
With the retirement of C.J. Fedorowicz, the Texans can still use a tight end. What are their options at this point? We're going to take an extensive look, and we've got a few intriguing NFL rule changes to discuss in today's show. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Robert Land, with the Houston Sports Talk Podcast. Welcome to Locked On Texans, your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. We're also part of the FanRag Sports Network. Joining me in place of my usual co-host, Brian Patterson, is our LockedOnTexans.com correspondent, Jordan Brown. And Jordan has broken down the veteran options at tight end and possible draft options as well. But before we get to that, the Texans make a small move Tuesday. They signed free agent inside linebacker Jordan Keys to a one-year $900,000 contract. This will be his fourth year with his fifth different team. So a journeyman who was an undrafted free agent. But Jordan, from the looks of it, what he brings is more special teams help. He had nine tackles on special teams last year. Man, you got to appreciate how they've made that unit a priority this offseason.
Oh, for sure. You really have to. And especially that they were able to sign, was it Gesicki from the Patriots as well? Like, they really are trying to capitalize on getting these skill players for special teams, make sure that we actually have just some good specialty players there. Because, I mean, just as a Texans fan, it's pretty easy to have known. Like, we've had struggles in the second or in special teams for as long as we can remember. So if we can really solid up that weak position, that'll be a really good addition, even if it's only contributing on special teams.
Well, the biggest thing to me left on the table of everything going on in free agency, and they're going to need a backup quarterback, and that's going to have to be addressed. I guess this it's 1 and 1A, however you want to put those two options, but it's the tight end position. You've got some big name veteran options that the Texans can still grab. I was looking through a few of those myself. Hit me with the first guy on your list of the veteran options.
The first one of the list, I mean, if we hadn't been talking about it today, he wouldn't even been out there. But the number one for us has to be Mercedes Lewis, in my opinion. He's coming off of a pretty good season. He's a little older than I would like, but in terms of the pro ratings on Pro Football Focus, he was rated the sixth best overall tight end in the league. Rated exceedingly well in terms of run blocking. From what I can tell, he was virtually the best run blocking tight end in the NFL last year. And then on top of that, just on the personal standpoint, Mercedes Lewis is on record after being cut by the Jags that he felt like he was given a little bit of the short end of the stick and has maybe a little bit of grudge there. So I just know fundamentally with where the Texans stand, we've got a little bit of an issue with our offensive tackles. So getting a blocking tight end would be great. And Mercedes Lewis is that. And he's a guy who played in the division and might have a chip on his shoulder for those games.
Yeah, that's a good one to mention. You know, he's averaged 13 yards per reception last year, over 13 yards per reception. You look at his career, you know, the numbers are pretty good. He most years he averages over 10 yards of reception. The only thing that I think of when I think of Mercedes Lewis, I don't know about you, maybe it's just against the Texans. He gets his share of drops too as a tight end. But I mean, I guess when you get some targets like that, maybe that happens.
Oh, definitely a little bit. I would definitely prefer if he was a little bit better on that. But especially with Lewis, the thing that really jumped off the page for me is his ability to block. And especially in the run game, especially on the corners. Like, we have with Lamar Miller, you have a speedy running back, but we've never really been able to get him to the corners. And I feel like if you get somebody just as a blocker with Mercedes Lewis to be able to get on the edge and have that little extra athletic ability, I feel like that would be really good. Not specifically helping with the tight end game per se, but being able to complement the running game. But like you said, to that point, I mean, he's not great with dropping passes, but Antonio Gates, the ageless wonder, he's still out there also. If I remember correctly, he actually did not drop a pass last year. His overall ratings, just in terms of his production, was dropped significantly, but that's got to be to expect it, because I mean, he's 37, probably going on 38, but I mean, he hasn't dropped any passes, so he could, I think, either of those guys in terms of a veteran offense of just presence, I feel like would be very good.
What do you think they're looking for? I kind of feel like they want somebody that's going to be able to block and catch. I mean, with Bill O'Brien, we always take a drink every time we mention versatility about what O'Brien's looking for. But do you think he's got enough versatility as a blocker and a pass catcher? Because I guess, you know, he's primarily known as just an outstanding pass catcher over the course of his career.
For being the extraordinary pass catcher that he is, I would still say he's probably above average as a blocker, but it's just with one of those things when he's getting into the, I mean, certainly the later part of his career,
right?
You got to wonder if he's going to be playing on all snaps. And that's not even necessarily a bad thing, but even if you're getting an Antonio Gates that's going out there, he's not really going to block, but he's willing to like just be in the slot and be a consistent bit set of hands. I mean, if he can be healthy, that could definitely go a long way with this tight end core, because for whatever reason, we just have had too many injuries with it.
Who's next on your list?
After that, it's just kind of a little bit of a motley of guys. Luke Wilson, who I think was the Seahawks to a degree, was interesting. Just he's a big guy who's I'd say above average run blocker. He can potentially catch the ball, but he's nothing very consistent with it. I'm probably butchering the name, but the Falcons tight end was Lavine Toliolo.
I don't know. That's a good one. I'm not sure, but you know, Luke Wilson. That's a guy that at least might be interested in Houston. Maybe he. He would like to come back home because he's a Rice grad, right? He's a local product, at least in college.
Yeah, I think he is. That's actually a really good point. Yeah, he might like maybe have that extra little itch to be able to want to go home and kind of finish out his career here. I'd forgotten about that.
I tell you what, the veteran guy that, you know, you and I were going back and forth a little bit through messaging on, and the guy that to me is a real interesting, you know, somebody that's real interesting on this list and just was released a couple of weeks ago, and that's Julius Thomas with Miami. And everybody remembers his first couple of seasons with Denver. He had those outstanding first two seasons, Jordan, and it looked like he was going to be one of the best tight ends in the NFL. And he signs that big free agent deal with Jacksonville, and then plays a couple of years there, plays a year in Miami, but injuries bit him. I mean, he had three injuries in 3 years. And, you know, it didn't play with the best quarterbacks in the world. And so, you know, it ends up where he's available. He's somebody that, boy, when he was playing with Peyton Manning and he was playing with a good quarterback, you had to love what he could do.
That's true. When he was there, when he started off, he really was. I mean, incredible. 2013 and 2014, he was averaging above 80 on Pro Football Focus. So you were getting, I mean, close to elite level play, especially with tight ends. You really don't have that many great tight ends. But, I mean, ever since then, for whatever reason, it's been hovering about like the 50 or 60 range. He's really similar, in my opinion, honestly, to Mercedes Lewis, a guy who, I mean, maybe his hands aren't necessarily there, but he's a big body who could definitely help defend on the run and just help with blocking in general. And especially in our system, if we can't really get specialty tight ends, I could definitely see Bill O'Brien, who's shown in the past that he's willing to use a bunch of big guys and use tight ends as just extra blockers. I could see us just getting some of these veterans that, I mean, they're not necessarily going to be, you're going to bomb it down deep to them, but you can trust them to block somebody for you, and they'll actually will catch it if they're in the area of it.
I want to ask you about one other guy, at least on the tight ends list that I was noticing, and we've talked a little bit about him on the show, and then you've also got some rookies to talk about, you know, future rookies anyway, draft guys. But before we get to them, just want to remind all the new listeners that if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, do us a favor and tell your friends. Let them know they can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Spotify. So lots of ways for you to put us on your phone and help you through that long Texans offseason. And hey, if you're a fan of the show, record a message for us, maybe using that voice memo on your phone. Email the voice memo to LockedOnTexans@mail.com, and we'll use it on the show. Jordan, I got one more guy that you haven't mentioned among the veterans, and me and Brian were just kind of going over, well, is this guy somebody that the Texans would even consider, because he's always been super outspoken? He's not exactly, quote unquote, Texan friendly, if you would want to call it that. We've seen that they've changed some things with a couple of guys that they've brought in over the offseason. Martellus Bennett, do you think he's got much in the tank? Him, like Gates and Lewis, they're all of them older guys. They're in their 30s. But does a Martellus Bennett interest you? I mean, he's got the Super Bowl pedigree.
He definitely does. He's somebody that could certainly be there. He's a player who's been able to show that he can, again, he can defend somewhat well in a run block. So there's definitely that. As long, like, and to be just utterly honest, that's got to be our biggest issue just in general, is just general protection. Even if we can't get like an exact offensive weapon out of a tight end, we have Steven Anderson, who's a mismatch issue. And even Ryan Griffin, rated, I think, about in the top 30 of ratings. But it's one of those things. It's like, we just need blockers. It's more so even than the hands. So yeah, I really, if we can get anybody on that edge that has a bit of athletic ability, if we can get extra bodies in there at the tight end position, it's got to be one of our biggest targets for this offseason, especially with how much money we still have.
When you think about it, I mean, this is a really good group to choose from if you're looking for cheap veterans, or, you know, cheap guys in general if you're the Texans, because, you know, you got all of these guys with really good experience. That they're, some of these guys bring in some incredible leadership, incredible careers. I mean, I don't know, Jordan. To me, the Texans are in good shape here for a team that's in desperately need of a tight end, because they do have a lot of these guys that are out there, and I think that would be a good fit.
Oh, for sure. And then even if we're able to get one of these veterans, from what I can tell, it looks like there's a pretty good amount of depth of tight ends in the rookie draft as well. So I think we don't have it yet, but we got a lot of time ahead of us. I definitely think we'll have a few solutions that we can figure things out with.
When you were looking through the rookies, which ones caught your eye, the guys in the draft? And you know, it should be interesting, because they've got 3 third round picks at this point. They could take a couple of thirds, as everybody is discussed ad nauseum, I think, that's a Texan fan. And, oh, well, let's take a couple of thirds, move up into the second round. I don't see them moving up for a tight end necessarily, but I absolutely can see them taking a tight end with one of those third round picks or the fourth round pick, either one. I mean, what guys out there interest you?
Well, there's two that really blew me away. It's Mike Gesicki out of Penn State, who from what I'm understanding, I really doubt that he's going to be there for us. I just have to mention him for the simple fact that just what he is and what he provides. He's a 6'6 tight end who ran a 4.54 in the 40. He had almost a 10-foot, 9-inch broad jump, which is just ridiculous. It was about 6 inches further than anybody else did. He was a top-5 slot receiver in terms of yards that he was able to get as a tight end. He was the best in terms of deep passes. So I don't think we can get him, but like you said, it's very unlikely. But if we were going to move up for a tight end, this is definitely the guy that I think it would be. He doesn't have as much experience being a primary receiver, but he's been pretty proven as well as being a rounded blocker. And then this past year was just an absolute threat. And I mean, 6'6 and a 4.5 40 is just dangerous. Another guy that I can't really tell, he didn't seem on many projections to be there, so he might be a late round guy, but Nigel Kirby, he was just for a tight end as a receiver, he didn't have any drops, and he was the first in the football sub series with yards per run route at 2.5 yards, and he had, I think it was about a third more than anybody else, so he was very much ahead of everybody in that route. But in terms of realistic guys, I mean, there's really a lot of them. There's this is a Dallas Gobert. He actually went to Eastern Montana, which is the same. I think it's Eastern Montana. It's the same school that Carson Wentz went to, and from what I understand, South Dakota State, not Montana. And he is, I mean, he just blew the targets off the list, basically, in terms of being a receiving tight end. But there's really everything you could ask for. There's a lot of young guys that are able to block, and there's a lot of guys that can receive it. But for the Texans specifically, just given that they like having a blocker, Jalen Samuels is a player that's interesting, which is a bit more of a versatile pick, but he also ran 4.5 in the 40. There's a lot of comparisons to a Trey Burton type player. And if anybody forgot, which I don't know how you could, he was one of the player that threw that crazy pass to Nick Foles in the Super Bowl. So it's just a kind of crazy comparison. That's a guy that was really blowing things off of the or just really killed it over at the combine.
Yeah, I mean, there's some interesting names there, but the thing that I just want to remind everybody, you say, oh well, I don't know if you could get a really impact tight end in the middle rounds, or you know, what can they really get in the middle rounds? Jordan, do you remember who the best tight end that the Texans ever had, and do you remember what round the Texans got him in?
Oh man, I was actually looking this somewhat recently, so I'm pretty sure I do remember. That's got to have to be Owen Daniels, I believe.
Oh yes, that's what I'm talking about. You can get that guy, and you can get him in. What round do we get him in?
Round three.
No, that was round four. Round four.
Oh, it was a round four. Oh man. But I mean, still, exactly. Like, there's a lot of. This might be a year for that. There's a lot of guys projected in that second to third round that have a lot of upside, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Owen Daniels, everybody that follows the Texans. I mean, to me, I loved watching him play. He's pretty much everything that the Texans could use in a tight end right now. He was a good pass blocker. He could catch everything. He would get his hands on everything. I can't even imagine if you had an Owen Daniels with somebody that was maybe a little bit more of an accurate quarterback, because Owen Daniels was having to make a lot of strange catches with Matt Schaub. And not to say Deshaun Watson is necessarily known for his accuracy, but he looked a hell of a lot better than any of us ever thought he did or he would at this point in his career. But I mean, I loved Owen Daniels. He's one of my all-time favorite Texans.
Oh yeah, same here. And that's really what we need. We don't need somebody that's necessarily flashy. We just need some consistency. And I do feel like, to a degree, we have that with what's on the roster, but it's just the injuries, and that hit us with a very bad bug. So we have to make sure we can find people that have that ability just to be available. And whether it's being a star receiver for us or somebody that just can come in and be an extra run blocker, as long as they can just be out there on a consistent basis, that's really all I'm asking for, especially with some of the wide receiver talent that we have on our roster.
Yeah, if they get that veteran guy, which we think that they're going to do here in free agency, and then you add a rookie and you put all those guys in the mix with Ryan Griffin, if he's still able to give you something with all the concussion issues. Maybe Steven Anderson still hangs around. I don't know if he's somebody that they're really high on at this point. I got a feeling that one of those two guys will be gone by next year. I think they're going to draft a tight end, and I would probably put all my money on the fact that they were going to draft a tight end in this draft. But we'll see. I mean, you know, this franchise looks more and more like they're doing best player available. They're trying to fill the roles, but it's best player available. Looks like the NFL finally changed a rule everybody hated. Jordan, we're going to get to that in a second. But before we do, just a quick reminder to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, email us at LockedOnTexans@mail.com. If you forget any of that, you'll notice we conveniently have all of that info in the show description of each podcast. Don't forget to save our website, LockedOnTexans.com, in your favorites tabs, and take a few seconds to rate us on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it because, you know, it helps people find our show. By next week, the NFL will have a new catch rule. Thank goodness. Here are the three big changes. Jordan, I'm gonna outline them for you, and then I want to get your thoughts. The new catch rule, number one, will require only that a receiver have control of the football, and any slight movement of the football in the receiver's hands detected via replay review would not result in an incompletion. Oh, that's a big one. Number two, they'll also eliminate the requirement that a receiver who's in the process of going to the ground while making a catch must maintain control of the football while on the turf to be awarded a legal catch. So the old ground causing the fumble that we've seen with, you know, Calvin and Johnson and a lot of these guys, that is going to be gone. The third and final change, and this one, you even forget that they changed this rule, but the replay standard for overturning an on-field ruling of a catch will be indisputable video evidence rather than clear and obvious. And I really like that. I mean, to me, that's what the replay was all about to begin with. You know, Jordan, what did you think about all that? You excited about this?
Oh, I mean, it's got to be huge. When you're playing a game where everything is centered essentially around making a catch, you really need to have it where the fans aren't sitting there watching every play when somebody has it and they go to the ground. Oh, man, I hope the ground didn't knock the ball out of their hand. Like, I understand that they want to use replay and they want to make sure it's accurate, but that's the key, is you just have to make sure that, I mean, that it's obvious, but you don't need to go spend the next 5 minutes between every commercial breaking it down and seeing if it moves move just a quarter inch when there was virtually no way the guy was going to lose the ball. So I think it's a very good decision, just because for just overall pacing reasons, I don't think anybody really wants to have a big drive going, have a big catch happen, and then you just lose all the momentum of the game. And at that point, you just don't really know what's happening. If the defense is on their heels or something, you lose that. I just think it would make the actual game flow better while not necessarily affecting outcomes in a bad way.
Is there any rule you'd like to see the NFL change or get rid of? To me, the one that sticks out that I just feel like at times, I don't know. College football has the rule where on a pass interference, you know, it's not, you get the ball where the catch was, you know, it's maybe a 15-yard penalty or something like that. To me, I don't know if sometimes you feel like, oh yeah, that's something that they should apply to the NFL, because, you know, if a guy, you know, does a pass interference, doesn't necessarily mean the receiver is going to catch the football. That's not one I'm big on. I don't know if that would go over well with fans, but I feel like at times that rule is abused a little bit, where there's a pass interference. Boy, was that guy really going to catch the ball? Are we kidding ourselves with that? Or it was it's a minor pass. I saw almost sometimes like a minor pass interference, because the pass interference rule has gotten so much more. It's got over the years, it just feels like it's gotten a lot more ticky tack than it used to be. You know, used to be able to hand fight a little bit more, and it's such a judgment call that I hate, you know, games being decided on whether the referee decides, well, that time it was the offensive guys, you know, that time is the defensive guy over the offensive guy. It's such a discretionary rule. What do you think of that? Is there anything you'd like to change?
I definitely think that's a big thing that they need to figure out. Like you said, I mean, it just feels like sometimes, like, the really good quarterbacks, and I commend them for doing it, because they're finding, like, in a sense, little hacking loopholes. But like you kind of said, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Aaron Rodgers is on record saying that, like, the quarterbacks know that sometimes they'll be able to get away with a pass interference like that. And yeah, I don't think it's good that quarterbacks will necessarily be like, okay, so I'm going to throw it deep. We're basically going to plan to get a penalty, and then we're going to get the ball there. Because if we're trying to make sure we actually know what a catch is, like, that shouldn't be fair, because essentially you're negating the actual ability to contact it and just getting the ball where that lands. So I definitely agree with you on that they should, if you get a pass interference, you get, what, 10, 15 yards, but it shouldn't be if you go and throw it 80 yards and you do some kind of weird movement, you shouldn't get a 70-yard penalty. That's a bit too much. But not even necessarily penalty things for me, but the biggest thing I would honestly love to see is get rid of the overtime rules that we have, where first one to score wins. Have it set up where it's just like it is in college, in my opinion, because if you get to overtime, you really just need to kind of, in a way, get the game finished quicker. And I think for the fans, if you go to an overtime situation like you do in college, where you get both offenses, you both get a drive with starting on the 25-yard line, let's be real, like, people like their quarterbacks. You're giving both teams' offenses a chance to go on offense. Both have a chance to try and score before the game is determined. I think that one could definitely be good, because most of the time when a game goes to overtime, they're just running on fumes. And for me, I just think it would be a lot more exciting to see them go, all right, it's overtime, different rules. We're basically going to just go sudden death, but you both get a chance on offense to score before anything happens.
You don't even think it was improved a little bit with the, you know, you have to score a touchdown on the first drive and it's not over. It's because, I mean, to me, that was the big thing. You're still playing real football. It's not, you know, high school and college is okay, but I like the idea of, okay, if it's a touchdown, it's over with, but if it's a field goal, we keep going. You didn't think that was good enough?
I mean, I definitely think it's better, but I just feel like it's kind of them being like, okay, so college has something going, but we're not going to just give it to them. And it's definitely better, because especially in when it's in the playoffs, there's not you don't have to worry about a team scoring and immediately ending. Like, you still get a chance, but I kind of like the drama of it. I will absolutely concede it kind of gives away from the actual, like, pure football play. But there's just something about watching the offenses at the end of the game pretty much just have, like, being the batter up in the bottom of the ninth inning kind of feel. It's definitely not football, but just for me, being kind of a spectator watching it, I've just always loved that dynamic.
That's interesting. Well, and there's probably other stuff that I can think of that it's not coming to me right now. There's a lot of times I'm watching the NFL. I'm like, can we get rid of that? Can we do something different? I mean, one of the things that gets annoying as hell for me is just the constant special teams penalties. You feel like it's, you know, every special teams play, there's going to be a penalty of some sort somehow. Maybe just things aren't set up well on special teams, or it's too easy to do that. But anyway, hey, I've got a trivia question for you, Jordan, before we close it out. It's kind of amusing, I think. Which one of the veteran tight ends you mentioned earlier said this about Tony Romo? Quote, any quarterback that can get Jessica Simpson, I've got to play with him.
Oh, man, that's a great question. Is it a current Texan or is it an old one?
No. What I'm saying is it's referring back to what we were talking about earlier. It's one of the veteran tight ends that we mentioned.
Oh, man. So it was Owen Daniels?
No. It was Martellus Bennett, of course, the outspoken.
Oh. Of course.
He said that back in the day when he was at Texas A&M. So, yeah, it's Martellus Bennett.
Oh, that's funny.
He's a character. That's why you want him around. That's why you want him around, because he'd make it fun.
Oh, for sure.
Always good to catch up with you. We should remind everybody to look for your piece on the tight ends. We're going to have that piece up within the next, I think it should be up in the next 24 hours or so on LockedOnTexans.com. We got to get you some followers on Twitter. Let them know how they can follow you.
Oh, yeah. So, you can follow me at Duh Brown Bear. It's D, two A's, and then Brown Bear, B-R-O-W-M-B-E-A-R. I don't have as many followers on there, but I keep up to date for the most part with the news on there. And then also on Instagram, you can follow me for a Texans news page on there. It's Duh Texans, the same thing, D-A-A, and then Texans, T-E-X-A-N-S.
Is it top secret what the brown bear means, or can you tell us?
No, it's just kind of a running thing. A bunch of my friends, we have, like, since I was last name's Brown, go with Brown Bear, and then just different ones, kind of a thing growing up. But, yeah, it just kind of stuck with it.
Well, hopefully the honey badger is not going to get in your way for any reason. That's the honey badger versus the brown bear. I think honey badger wins that one now.
No, the bears definitely will just try and stay out of the way of that one. We just like hibernating.
Well, thanks a lot, man. Hey, before we close out, I want to remind everybody, hey, Brian has got everything in Houston sports covered on House of Houston, a Fanside affiliate. He's going to be back with us tomorrow. Go check out his and his staff stories on houseofhouston.com. Subscribe to my Houston Sports Talk podcast to hear me and my co-host RG Seal debate everything going on in the area, Rockets, Astros, all sorts of good stuff over there. And as always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.